Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so that you can be a part of the broadcast to pose your question or seek direction for your real-life issue. We invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. That's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about freedom. There's a wonderful passage in Romans 7 that talks about our freedom in Christ. It says, "My brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead." And that's freedom, the fact that we have been set free to belong to another person, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. It doesn't say anything about freedom in this particular passage, but boy, it has it written all over it, doesn't it? I mean, you can see that we were bound to sin. The law kept us there. The only thing that we could produce were works of death. We bore the fruit of death. And now we've been released from that old way. We've been set free from that old way so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. That is a significant statement, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, I fought the law and the law won. That's pretty much Paul's resume. And what we're seeing here in this passage, Romans 7, is are you guys going to go cheating on Jesus? Because you've already died to the law. You've been married to Christ. You are the bride of Christ. What do you call it when you're married to somebody and then you go back and flirt with somebody else? Well, that's cheating on Jesus. And I don't even think we realize it, Bob, but in a lot of our legalism today, it's the same as it was 2,000 years ago. If we grab a little bit of Jesus and then a little bit of the law and try to have a nice marriage of the two, we're really cheating on Jesus. It's a trust issue. I mean, are we going to trust the risen Christ, who we are spiritually united to? Are we going to trust him with our daily living, or are we going to run to a bunch of rules that we think are the answer?
And those rules are never the answer. They look wise on the surface. I love how Paul put that in his letter to the Colossians, the do not taste, do not handle, do not touch. Those rules look wise, and we latch on to them because they appear wise to us. But as Paul says, none of those have any power to restrain sensual indulgence. No. I mean, they don't do the job. As a matter of fact, they bind us even tighter to sin, and we see those fruits of sin coming out even more in us. And that's a dilemma for us. The harder we try, the worse we become. And as you said, we fight the law wins, and the law wins every single time. And that's why we've been set free from the law of sin and death, so that we could experience this new way through the Spirit of God. Well, this is such an important topic. We're going to spend lots of time this month talking about the difference between law and grace. If you're a listener out there and this is new to your ears, I encourage you to stick with us through the month of July, to tune in every single day and to hear a little bit more information about what it means to be set free from the law of sin and death so that you can serve in the new way of life. And that's under the umbrella of law and grace. But we're going to talk about it. It's a very practical, down-to-earth, rubber-meets-the-road,
yeah,
nitty-gritty,
yeah,
topic that helps us really experience to the full this freedom that we have in Christ.
If you have a question about law and grace, or if there's some other issue you need to discuss, why, this is a good opportunity. The lines are wide open right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll-free, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go talk to Pete, who's listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
John chapter 7:46. I have my earpiece on, but no one spoke like our Lord. nobody. The Bible is the original law. This country is based on the Bible. Done. There's no more Bible. We didn't base it on what you say. It's on the laws of people, what they want to make up. The Holy Bible, that's what I go by, gentlemen. Amen.
Well, Pete, I think that's an excellent comment. And boy, when Jesus did come on the scene, guys, and he spoke with authority, folks were just amazed by the words that came out of his mouth. The Pharisees tried to trap him time and time again. They set up all kinds of things. And Jesus recognized what they were doing, and he spoke things, and they just, you know, turned and scratched their heads and says, We can do nothing to catch this guy. He speaks with authority. He speaks as one who has come from above. He's not one of us. And that was the obvious reality when Jesus walked on planet Earth. And the good news is that now this Jesus, he died, he was buried, he was raised to life, and now he's living in us. And by his Spirit, we hear those very words of Christ, and they're amazing to us, and they're the words of life. They're the words of freedom. They're the words of grace, and we can experience those words in a very real and personal and intimate way because the Christ of the Bible is alive, living in us today, and that's real freedom.
Yeah, it is. One of the great parts about this particular passage is that the people who said this, no one ever spoke the way this man does, were soldiers, temple police officers who were sent to get Jesus, and they're standing on the outside of the crowd deciding whether to force their way in, and they hear Jesus talking. And in a very real sense, what is happening to them is the beginning of conversion. The words Jesus says hit them in a way they've never been touched before. It gets through to their souls, down into their very spirits, and what they wanted to do was respond, but of course we have a job to do, and they couldn't do anything, so they went back empty-handed. That's not unlike what happens to us. I mean, we're running around, we're in bondage to sin, and Jesus speaks to us through someone else, through the Bible, through many different ways, and it stops us. And people will ask us, well, why didn't you do what you were supposed to do? And you nobody's ever talked like this. But if you'll respond to that stoppage, respond to the words of Christ, your life will be changed. And then when he's living inside of you, there are people who will look at you and say, where did you get these words?
Yeah, and it's interesting because what he was talking about, what Jesus was saying that really amazed the soldiers was this: if anyone is thirsty, yeah. We're all thirsty, and he wasn't talking about physical thirst. He was talking about the thirsts of our souls. He said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Nobody's ever talked like that. Nobody's ever said, come unto me. Nobody's ever said, when you come unto me and believe in me, that streams of living water will flow out in such a wonderful, wonderful way.
Yeah.
That's what the soldiers were responding to, and that's what we have in Christ. That's what it means to be set free from that old way, those rigid structures of rules and regulations, to this new way of the Spirit living his life in and through us. That's the stream of living water that flows from within us.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Open lines. Want you to be a part of the broadcast. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, brothers. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Same here. All right, my thing is, you know, when I turn on, like, a Christian channel, I'm not going to name the network, but it seems like it's so messed up that it's all about money and sowing the seed. And you have these people up saying, oh, thus says the Lord, to dial this number and sow a seed for $150,000. I'm just speaking what they're saying. And it's, to me, it's just so wrong. you know, in my spirit, I just feel that this is just so wrong what they're doing, for even for unbelievers. When they watch this, they know that this is just a scam. And yeah. It's just foul to see this done in the name of the Lord. So it just bothers me so much. I just wanted to know what you brothers' outlook is on this topic, you know.
Yeah, well, Eugene, I think you've pointed out something that we all see from, you know, here and there on Christian television, sometimes on Christian radio, in Christian teaching worldwide. This is the kind of thing that where Jesus becomes the table turner. I mean, he goes into the temple and he sees what's happening, the abuses, and he starts turning furniture over. And, you know, so I think he's still turning furniture over today, so to speak, in your heart, in our hearts, as we take notice of this stuff that is done in the name of Jesus. And really, it becomes a form of extortion. It's looking at God as a slot machine where you pump in enough quarters and pull down the handle of faith and out come the blessings if you believe hard enough. And, you know, that's just not what the gospel is. God doesn't need our money. He certainly... You know, he uses money in ministry, of course. Planet Earth operates on funding and, you know, ministries that are legitimate. I think they have a place where Scripture talks about supporting from the heart, giving out of a heartfelt need, you know. But this whole thing can be abused, and it kind of comes back to our theme today, Eugene. I mean, we're talking about living from grace and not living under law. And, Eugene, the same thing applies with our money. We want to live under grace, and we want to give under grace. And, you know, that's not abusive, and that's not extortion. It's just simply realizing the place that Christ has in our hearts, and we get to be motivated by him.
Amen. Thank you so much, because when I look at it, when you look at Scripture, it's just unbiblical. You know, it's not... Exactly what you're saying, like God doesn't need to use these people to say dial this number and sow the seed for this amount. God doesn't operate like that. He operates from our heart, from grace, like we give what we can give, you know. So I agree with everything what you said, and, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I guess pray to God and, you know, I guess just move forward. But it really bothers me. And, you know, I just wanted to let my voice know
well,
about this. And I can't believe that they have this on the Christian network.
Yeah.
You know, I can't, they're doing this in the name of the Lord.
This
is really foul.
Yeah, I hear you, Eugene. And you're right to be disturbed about it. I think probably the Holy Spirit is disturbed within you about it. I know I get disturbed about it. And that's why, you know, when you see 3-month tithing challenges and putting God on a time limit and God promises to pay you back and all of these sort of motivational mechanisms, instead of just trusting the believer's heart. And that's ultimately what we have to do at Basic Gospel. That is what we do. I'm the pastor of a church in West Texas. That's what we do. We trust people's hearts. We trust God to motivate people from the heart when they see a need and a ministry and lives being changed. Well, then they naturally just get passionate and want to give toward it. And so I would say run for the hills whenever you see manipulation tactics and, you know, these motivational mechanisms that are basically based on guilt or, you know, God's going to pay you back sort of mentality. The joy is in the giving, and the joy is in spreading the message. So thanks for your call, Eugene. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, most definitely, Eugene. I'm gonna pause here just for a minute, because I really do, like you were mentioning, Andrew, think this topic fits into what we were talking about at the very beginning. A lot of times we're pursuing financial gain because we think when we are given financial reward or that sort of thing, that we've gained the favor of God. So we're pursuing financial gain from a legalistic mindset. It's a worldly mindset. So if I have blessing, material blessing, then that means I have God's favor. If I don't have material blessing, then it means I don't have God's favor. That's the whole works mentality. And we hear that oftentimes, you know, sow the seed of faith and that sort of thing. And so our legalistic hearts, our old legalistic flesh, you know, I don't want to say our hearts because in Christ we have new hearts, but our old legalistic flesh just responds to that. And it says, yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to go and we need to get financial blessing so that we can say with some measure of assurance that we have God's favor. Well, we have God's favor in Christ. If we're in Christ, we're always in God's favor. There's never going to be a moment from the day we're born again that we are ever outside of God's favor. Why? Because we're in Christ. That's the kingdom of the Son that He loves. So we have to recognize this really as a law and grace issue, don't we?
Oh, yeah. You know, what I hear a lot, Bob, is people say you'll be cursed if you don't give a certain amount with a certain frequency. And so then we've got Christians who hear this and they say, am I cursed? Am I cursed? Am I cursed? And really, we need to be saying, am I blessed? Am I blessed? How blessed am I? And the Bible is saying, my friend, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You are way beyond being rescued from a curse. You're not just rescued from a curse. You've actually been blessed with every possible spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, even now. So sometimes we're asking the wrong question. We're like saying, am I a 4? Am I a 5? And he's saying on a scale of 1 to 10, you're an 11, man. You've got everything you need.
Absolutely. Well, that is good news. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. A couple of upcoming events. Andrew, you'll be in New York City next week, next Wednesday, at the World Changers Church, the 7 o'clock p.m. Service. So if anybody's interested to see Andrew in Brooklyn, I think it's in Brooklyn, right?
In the Bronx. Yeah.
Oh, in the Bronx. Join him on Wednesday night on July 24th. I will be in New York at the American Bible Society broadcasting Basic Gospel Live from the atrium there. All the information on how to register for that free event, and it is a free event, is on our website at basicgospel.net. And then that following Sunday, I will be speaking at the Beulah Baptist Church, which is at 125 West 130th Street in New York. So some great opportunities for our listeners in New York City. We hope to meet many of you at these particular events. So all that information is on our website at basicgospel.net. Well, let's go to Washington, D.C. and talk to Chris listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, when I came to the Lord many years ago, I so relished the freedom. You guys are talking about freedom. That I think just my nature is to take something and really run with it. And what freedom I found in Christ, I think I was somewhat overzealous for a long period of time with my resources and with my time and with my desire to preach the gospel. And over time, I found myself now depleted of resources and completely upside down in terms of, you know, worldly existence. And it's become very difficult to try to continue to, I guess, survive. And so I feel like, you know, I feel like I've lost the freedom that I got when I was born again. And maybe I was presumptuous that my actions during that time of such zeal and freedom and passion, that I'm now facing such hardship. And I don't know if I'm a backslider, and I can't seem to make any sense of it.
Yeah, well, you know, Chris, I think when we first get started in the Christian life, we might be zealous and full of energy and full of expectation that essentially we can do it, that we can be godly, that we can pull this off, that we can live this life. And then, you know, give it a week. For some people, give it a month. For some people, give it a decade. And we become acquainted with weakness. We become acquainted with exhaustion. And we really start hunting for, you know, where did I go wrong? You know, I started out so excited and so content in Christ, and then my human effort got in the mix, and I started to fail, and I started to be getting exhausted, essentially, and I'm looking for answers. I mean, that's certainly my story. I know it's all of our stories here at Basic Gospel. And, you know, one of the things I would encourage you to do is we can get a resource in your hands that would help. In fact, I've got a book called Relaxing with God. That sounds like something that might just hit the sweet spot with you, sir. Chris.
Well, my brother, you know, I spoke with you previously on your weekend program, and you were kind enough to send me that book, and I appreciate it. And I found a lot of wisdom in there. And I find that I have these moments where I can again feel the peace of God and the presence of God. But I feel as if my behavior and my attitude during this tremendous trial that I've been enduring, it just seems like I don't, you know, I know that the Bible will tell us in many places that, you know, trials produce patience and, you know, endurance is ultimately, you know, what we're striving for.
What are you going through right now, brother? Can you summarize
it? I'm going through, well, I called you about an issue I had with my pets that I may have to give away because I may not be able to continue to maintain my own living situation. I've prayed over jobs, and I continue to get jobs that just don't suit me. I find myself in this particular area is not, it's very competitive as we speak right now. I'm sitting in a virtual parking lot on the highway. And it just seems every moment of every day is filled with just such frustration, and it's so foreign to the walk that I walked for so many years.
Yeah.
And you know, the Bible tells us again that, you know, God's not going to ask you or place onto you any more than He knows that you're equipped to handle, and He gives you the grace to be able to sustain it. And you know, I cry out to Him on a regular basis and say, Lord, I mean, you say it in your word, you're not going to give us any more than we can handle. And I just don't know
how much more
I can handle from so many aspects, financially, personally, family, spiritually, my faith. I mean, the enemy. I mean, it's just an onslaught.
Right. And we've got a time issue here, Chris, but I do want to say this, brother. I think, you know, first of all, you're operating under one deception, and that is that God will only give you what you can handle. And that's not really the case. Paul says that he encountered many trials that he could not handle. And in fact, it says no temptation will ever seize you. But certainly we go through trials that just tear our human effort apart, that just show us our inadequacy and our inability. We don't have enough time to get into the depths of it, but Bob, maybe you want to put in some of your thoughts here. I think it's a case of coming to the end of our own resources, giving up on trying to cope, and really handing things over to the Lord in a different way.
Yeah, it's all about trying to figure out what it means to trust the Lord in the circumstances of life. You know, that's what those trials do, is they mature our faith, they perfect our faith, they bring it to completion, and we have to come to the point and say in life, is Jesus really enough? And that's what those trials of life, that's the question they raise. Is Jesus really enough for me at this moment in my life? And what you're going to find out is that He truly is sufficient in all things. So become weak, recognize your inabilities to do anything of real merit as far as God is concerned, and put your full weight of trust in Him. Well, Chris, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And friends, if you are ready to take off the religious masks and step fully into who you are as a child of God, then you're ready for The Cure. Written by John Lynch and his team at True Face Ministries, The Cure can help you experience the full force of the original good news. Let us say thank you with a copy of The Cure for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And, of course, supporting the ministry is the bottom line here. To request your copy and to make your gift, simply go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. And for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.